Now, while the nation continues to mourn the death of struggle icon and mother of the nation, Winnie Madikizela Mandela, the African National Congress has put in place a detailed list of activities to honor her. Today, we saw the first of 10 days of activities taking place. The activities will lead up to her state funeral on Saturday, the 14th in this year later on. In life, Winnie Madikizela Mandela was known as a brave anti-apartheid activist whose reputation was occasionally tainted by several criminal convictions, and of course also her association with the notorious Mandela Football Club. But in death, her record has largely been forgiven in South Africa, with the president declaring 12 days of mourning and the government accusing her critics of pushing an apartheid era narrative. Various leaders, politicians, celebrities and civil societies have paid their tributes to Mam Winnie. Yesterday we heard former President Thabo Mbeki speaking on various platforms about her legacy. Thabo Mbeki, of course, said that the ANC leadership was physically not around to stop Winnie Madikizela Mandela from doing what he called wrong things. He said he said that the involvement with the football club was unfortunate and that it tainted her legacy. He also went on to say that she should, of course, be praised for her sacrifices against apartheid, and stated that she should never be elevated above the rest. And of course, many people interpreted his take on her as a way of removing agency from her, and a way of almost mansplaining her her achievements and her accomplishments and her contribution to the freedom struggle in South Africa. The point, of course, is that there is many Winnies, and her legacy is always going to be a contested one. And for that reason, we are going to be speaking to a whole host of people throughout this build-up period to her funeral. And tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome former cabinet minister and also African National Congress veteran, South African Communist Party veteran, Mkhonto Sizwe veteran, Ronnie Castrels. Ronnie, good evening. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Now, of course, condolences to you and also everyone in that broad liberation family. This is the fall of a giant tree. This is a woman who was part of a particular generation. More of them are dying really quickly, really fast. In many ways, the end of an era, yes?
Yeah, of course it is. And I think whatever people are saying, I think that Winnie's legacy and her persona is actually going to last a lot longer than a lot of others, including, say, for Madiba, all our presidents. I'm not saying that in a bitter way, but she was larger than life in a sense. What we need to understand is that this was a rebel, and a rebel within a rebellion. So there are people, the revolutionaries, who come to the fore because of circumstance, because they oppressed and they react, and that's automatic. With her, it goes a lot deeper. There was a rebellious spirit. I classify Winnie, along with people like Angela Davis, Countess Markovice, the Irish Countess socialite who turned to the rebellion and was part of the Easter Uprising, Devi Puna, the bandit queen of the Indian underclass, the Palestinian fighters, Frida Kahlo, Leila Khaled of Palestine. You see, these are people who you can't easily control.
Yeah.
They have such a deep passion, and it's a passion that outshines a lot of the bright peers who they are part of, and many who are very analytical. This is the activist. Winnie is the activist, and she's brimful of compassion. a compassion that goes deeper than so many of my comrades who I respect and love.
Mm-hmm.
But it's extremely deep, that passion. And you see, rebelliousness and passion can cause problems of leadership. And even a person, a human being, we all flawed.
Absolutely. And it segues into what I wanted to say. I mean, she explained herself in that way. She said, I'm a product of the masses of this country.
Precisely.
But I'm also a product of my enemies. We can't have waged a war of liberation, Ronnie, and not expect to have also not been brutalized by that war.
Well, you see, with President Thabo Mbeki, and the statement that you've referred to, you know, the ANC couldn't be there at the time of the Mandela Football Club to that effect. Well, the ANC couldn't be there. Nelson couldn't be there when this young woman in 1967 underwent 18 months of brutal torture in isolation, kept naked, abused, and so on. They couldn't be there when for 18 months, eight years, she's banished
to
a hellhole in Brantford. And I think that as we've come to understand things like post-stress disorder, and if we can go into human relationships,
yeah,
between people, husbands, wives, lovers, etc. Here is a young woman in that situation with these two young girls who she loves and adores, and she's got to feel animosity for the man who left her. Even an angel is going to feel that. It's not a flaw in Winnie. Tell me where a woman, let's use a woman in this instance, can be a man as well, who's left in a situation of that kind and is going to be aggrieved and hate the enemy. But there's an aspect of blame,
yeah,
for the person who led you there, in a sense led you there. She was a highly independent woman. But Nelson Mandela makes the point that he had got her into a situation where she should never have been, and he felt absolutely guilty. I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, but I think if we're going to understand some of what people are referring to as Winnie going astray at,
yeah,
at certain points without taking into account the context and her suffering, then it's not to understand what the internal turmoil is and how, especially if you're a rebel, by the way,
yes,
you can rebel against what you actually love.
Absolutely.
And I think this is what people have to grasp.
Mm.
When they look at the scales, when they weigh up what she achieved, the good as opposed to aspects that are flawed. And we have to be, as human beings, absolutely, utterly compassionate in how we understand this woman who is an absolute marvel, who we're going to miss and miss and miss. And as I've already said, Karima, her life and what she has stood for and her rebelliousness of spirit is going to outlive the lot of us.
Now, of course, that rebelliousness of spirit is something that has always resonated with young people. She has had a particular affinity with young people. They've gravitated toward her, and she's always had time for them. She's always had an ear. And what is really interesting, and one of my colleagues, Eusebius Makaiza, pointed it out a few days ago, in this time where there is a lack of intergenerational conversations, where people don't understand either the anger of young people or the decisions that older people made regarding the context and the nature of our freedom and our settlement, someone like Winnie Madikizela Mandela is going to be missed because she was able to hear that which many grandees in political parties simply didn't want to hear, didn't have the language to even understand.
One of the very few of this generation who has been a lightning conductor in relation to the youth. I mean, the way the EFF react and the way they've been sparked, and the young woman, is evident of this. But you know, she has such a particular connect that it's with older people, women, old men, the wretched of the earth, the township people, the rural people, the destitute. Look how through her life she has fired them.
Mm.
So it's intergenerational. And as we speak, we see those images of Winnie virtually alone of that leadership going into the hotspots, into the townships, into the areas where people are bleeding, where houses and huts are on fire, fearless, and that incredible reaction, the ululation, how she inspired people then and how she inspires people now, and the youth, and how she will inspire people in this land for years and generations to come. You see, the mythology of the rebel,
yes,
as opposed to bookish presidents, yeah, yeah, and yeah, leaders, it grows, it magnifies, and it does powerful things for the future.
You know, I spoke with Jessie Duarte a few days ago, and she said that, you know, Winnie believed in her right to also be happy. And we know, of course, that her personal life was something that the apartheid regime was obsessed about. They infiltrated her inner circle. They tried to slut-shame her. They tried to work their way into her confidence. And this idea that she would press pause on who she was as a woman, as a sexual being, because her husband is on Robben Island for 27 years, she defies all of those stereotypes. She defies the idea that if you are a revolutionary, that you shouldn't care about what your skin looks like or what your hair looks like or whether you have sex appeal. I mean, she's all these complicated things in one. She's rendered complicated in her life's experiences, and yet she pays for it in ways that male leaders never do.
Absolutely. And all the women figures I've referred to, from Angela Davis through to the Bandit Queen, the Countess of the Easter Uprising, they all had very unconventional sexual lives, and that's forgotten. At the time, the petty-mindedness,
yes,
of people, including amongst revolutionaries,
yes,
who can be damn petty-minded as well, that plays on, and people in the media go on about it to a certain extent, etc. Of course, the enemy, the British colonial crown, the apartheid regime, they grab hold of this and they try and mystify, they throw mud at it, etc. But this doesn't stick. Winnie stands. My image of Winnie, by the way, and my biggest regret in life, was I was supposed to join her in 1962. I was in Durban, and we were both due to speak at a Transvaal Indian Youth Congress annual general meeting. At the last minute, I was banned, and I couldn't make it, and I sent a young student up to replace me. The next day's Rand Daily Mail had this photograph, huge photograph, on the front page. This young guy standing next to Winnie on the platform, and she was in the most incredible yellow sari, absolutely incredibly beautiful. And she retained that wonderful beauty right through her life.
Ronnie, final question. We're running out of time. Your enduring memory of her legacy, what is it that she leaves us with?
She leads us with the spirit of the rebel, never to accept conventionality, which is authoritarianism in various disguises. And even when we come to power, not to revert to the authoritarian rules of the colonial power, to be prepared to stand up, raise one's voice, inspire people to create a better world. Winnie had the courage to fight for that better world, and it's still some way off. So we've got to follow her example.
Thank you so very much. That's, of course, Ronnie Castrell's ANC and SACP stalwart, sharing his memories and, of course, also his recollections of the late Winnie Madikizela-Mandela.